Morning. Today's daf of Avodah Zarah, Samech Hay. We're in Samech Dalam and Beis. Three discussions that took place in yesterday's daf amongst an assemblage of Amoraim. The Gemara on Samech Yom and Beis brings down that there was a sitting between Rav Nachman and Ula and Avima Bar Papa, and Rabbi Chia Bar Ami was there alongside them, and they had three conversations, three halachic discussions. We went through two of the discussions yesterday, and we find ourselves in the middle of the third discussion. The middle of the third discussion starts on the top of Samech Dalam and Beis. So let's begin from the beginning of the discussion. I know we did a lot of it yesterday, but let's go back. Let's review. How do Yosef v'kami ba'eluhu? So here we are on the top of Samech Dalam Amud Beis. So the following question was asked: Ger Toshav ma shivato avodas kochavim. So can a Ger Toshav be mevato avodas zara? So Ger Toshav, as I described yesterday, by way of analogy, it's kind of like a legal alien, someone with a green card. So so a Ger Toshav is someone who resides in Eretz Yisrael, commits himself not to be over to avodah zarah, and so under those circumstances, can he be mevatel avodah zarah? So again, he's kind of in the middle. We know a Jew cannot be mevatel avodah zarah. We know a goy can be mevatel avodah zarah. So what did we say regarding this Ger Toshav? Now we know the Ger Toshav is not going to be over to avodah zarah. So is he more Jew or is he more non-Jew? Where does he stand in terms of his ability to be mevato? And the Gemara spells it out beautifully. The palach mevato, the lo palach lemevato. Maybe the ability to be mevato avodah zarah is contingent on you worshiping avodah zarah. So since an ovid kochavim worships avodah zarah, he has the ability to be mevato. But this ger toshav, who is not being ovid avodah zarah, therefore he can't be mevato. Lo doma kol the bar minei mevato v'hai bar mineihu. Or maybe no. Maybe in other words, the criteria is just very simple. Are you not Jewish? The ger toshav is not Jewish. So since he's not Jewish, so he's bar minei, he's one of those, so therefore he can be mevato the avodah zarah. So Amalu Rav Nachman, Mestaber de Palach Mevato, de Lom Palach Mevato. So Rav Nachman feels very strongly that that your ability to be mevato avodah zarah is contingent on you worshipping avodah zarah. Since the Ger Toshav has committed not to be over to avodah zarah, he therefore can't be mevato. Meisvei. Gemara challenges, he saw Shemata avodah kocham v'shuk ashla bat liyado. Omer lo v'kocham mevat la. So the Brice over here says, what happens when you discover an avodah zarah? So the Brice says very simple. So before you actually obtain, you take the avodah zarah, so you get a guy to come over, and you have the guy be mevato avodah zarah. Because as we learn earlier in the Masechta, a guy can be mevato not only his own avodah zarah, but somebody else's avodah zarah as well. Once you take the avodah zarah, now it's in your possession. Now it belongs to a Jew, and a Jew can't be a mevato avodah zarah. And then we have the last five words of the brisa, which are bein ovda, bein she'ein ovda. Now the goy can be mevato avodah zarah whether he worships it, whether he doesn't worship it. What does that mean? So the Gemara gives a simple pshat: my ovda, ma she'ein ovda. Ilem davido v'kochav mahayne shlo v'shal chaveru. Well, what does that mean? It means that you could be mevato whether it's his or whether it's not his. That point was already established in the brisa. So elalav ovda ovikochavim mashaino ovda ger toshav ushmamina ger toshav nami mevato. So now the Gemara offers a really simple pshat, a good pshat, and one that would help our cause. Well, not help Rav Nachman, but the pshat would be that if the guy is oved the avodah zarah, he could be mevato. And even if the guy is not over the avodah zarah, meaning he's a ger toshav, he could still be mevato. That seemingly is the pshat in the brisa. Now, if that's the pshat in the brisa, that's not going to go well for Rav Nachman. So lo, the Gemara says, but yeah, but we don't have to say that pshat in the brisa. We could say actually a different pshat in the brisa. Lo lameim lachay divido v'kochavim. No, truth be told, is that it's talking about somebody who's mamish and over the avodah zarah. V'tikamar hainu shalov v'shal chadero. So and what about the fact that basically the brisa is now repeating the same point over? Nah. Ratio Zev Zelapor Vizeva Zela Markalis Seifa Zelapor Vizela Markalis. So the Gemara says, no, what the Bryce actually wanted to make is the following point. Is that let's say, for example, they were both worshipping Markalis. So then it goes without saying that not only could it be Vato his of Zar, but another as well. But let's say one is being worshipping Markalis and the other one is worshipping Pa'or. So in other words, they are both of the Avodah Zarah, just different Avodah Zarah. So the one who's worshipping Markalis looks at the Baalpor and says, that's weird. Well, I don't know what he's doing. The one who's worshipping Baalpor is looking at the one worshipping Markalis and saying, that's really strange. He's throwing stones? What's that? And so they don't respect one another's Avodah Zarah. So now you could make an argument that you can only be Mevato the Avodah Zarah that you yourself worship, but not a different Avodah Zarah. That's what the Braisa wants to teach us, that it doesn't matter whether this is your Avodah Zarah, somebody else's Avodah Zarah, and it doesn't matter whether this is the kind of Avodah Zarah you worship, or this is not the kind of Avodah Zarah you worship. If you're an Ovid Avodah Zarah, you can be Mevatel any Avodah Zarah, whether it's yours or not, whether it is your type or not. That's what the Braisa wants to teach us. The Braisa, if interpreted that way, is not a difficulty for Rav Nachman. And so far, the Gemara has defended Rav Nachman.
He's a Mevatel the other ones, but what happened to the other guy? He's still worshiping. So what is
right.
Mevatel?
Right. In other words, is there an idea of Choser Veneir when it comes to Avodah Zarah? Meaning somebody was Mevatel and somebody else said, no, I want to bring it back to... Bring it back to life. Bring it back to the Avodah Zarah status. I know. I hear you. Meisve, the Gemara challenges with another Braisa, Ezu Ger Toshav. All right, so what is the definition of a Ger Toshav? So we get to hear this twice. Once now, once in just a couple of minutes from now. This Gemara is an Avodah Zarah, Samach Dalet and Samachay. So we get to hear this twice. Ezu Ger Toshav, Kosha Kibala, Bifne Gimel Chavem, Shalala, Avodah Avodah Zkocham, Divre Meir. Rav Meir gives a really simple definition of a Ger Toshav. And that is somebody who stands in front of a panel of three, what the Gemara describes as three chaverim, just, you know, Bezin, right? Chaverim sounds like it's Jewish, yes, that's what it sounds like. And he says, I'm not going to be over to Avodah Zarah. That's a really simple definition of a Ger Toshav. When I say simple, I mean every Ben Noach is not supposed to be over to Avodah Zarah, meaning that's just, you know, that's one of the most basic definitions of what it means to be a Ben Noach. I mean, you're not going to be over to Avodah Zarah. So over here, you come into Eretz Yisrael and you say, you know what? In other words, in front of a panel of three, you're going to sit there and you're going to pledge that you're not going to be over to Avodah Zarah. It sounds a little bit simple. It sounds a little strange that's a Ger Toshav, but according to Rav Meir, that's it. That's a Ger Toshav. V'chachamim omim kol shekibu alav sheva mitzvah shekibu aleihem b'nei Noach. And according to the Chachamim, it's almost as simple, in other words, but he pledges to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. In other words, it's not just Avodah Zarah, it's the other six as well. Right? There are seven Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, six of them are Lavim, one of them is an Aseh, the one Aseh is Dinim. And so, according to the Chachamim, he's got a pledge to keep all of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. In front of a Beis Din, presumably. Right, Kabbalah, meaning it has to be a pledge in front of people. And Acherim Omrim, and then the Gemara quotes the third opinion, Acherim. Just as a point of interest, Acherim, generally speaking, throughout Shas, is attributed to Rav Meir. The problem with that is that in this Braisa, we have Rav Meir, and then we have Acherim. Meaning, if Acherim is Rav Meir, so then you're having Rav Meir come up in the Braisa twice. Okay, but anyway, I'm just not addressing the point, but I am raising it. So Acherim Omim Eilu Lo Bao Lechlal Ger Toshav. So Acherim say, no, that doesn't get to the point of Ger Toshav. Ela, Eizu Ger Toshav, Zeh Ger. Ochel nevelos shekiba alav l'kayim kol mitzvos hamavos b'torah chutz meisu nevelos. So, and according to the Acherim, no. In order to be Ger Toshav, you have to accept upon yourself to do mitzvos of the Torah. You don't have to keep all the mitzvos of the Torah, meaning you can still eat nevela. Now, over here, when it says eating nevela, does that mean just the iser of nevela he's allowing for himself? Does it mean that he's allowing for himself all the lavim in the Torah? But in other words, he's taking on the assays. It's not totally clear, not perfectly clear. Where we're drawing the line, but according to the Acherim, and it's more than just Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, it's Mitzvahs in the Torah. Okay. But he's still going to eat Nevela. And by the way, why Nevela? Meaning of all these Surim, why is Nevela here pointed out? So I made this point yesterday, I'm going to reiterate today, and that is because the Torah is very clear. What happens when you have a Nevela? So the Lager didn't enter. The Torah says you give it to a Ger. So in other words, clearly the example of Nevela is because that's the one that the Torah identifies. But anyway, so there are three opinions in terms of how to become a Ger Toshav, either a rejection of Avodah Zarah, or an acceptance of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, or the acceptance of the Mitzvahs of the Torah, Chutz Mi Nevela, Chutz Mi Achilas Nevela. In any event, okay, so now we have a Ger Toshav. Now what? Miachden Etzlo Yayin, Ve'in Mafkinen Etzlo Yayin. So you can give him wine, but you can't give him wine. Now, I say that, and obviously you should be confused. What does that mean? You give him wine, but don't give him wine. So Rashi explains, miyachid means for a short amount of time. Right? Rashi says that if you're going to leave it to him for a short amount of time, Rashi describes as, I'll read the Rashi, aval miyachdim etzlo yayin, Yisrael miniach bechanuso, ashi elech kidei mil, o yoser. right, for a little bit of time, by 18 minutes, right, is the amount of time that it takes, is halichas mil. In other words, if you're leaving it for a little bit of time, so that's fine. But you can't be mafkid. Mafkid meaning you can't leave it to him for a long amount of time. Now, why is it that there is a extra leniency when it comes to Ger Toshav? So let me continue reading in that Rashi that I started reading just a moment ago. Rashi. Here, when it comes to the Ger Toshav, we're not worried. He's not going to, in other words, he's not Ovid Avodah Zarah, meaning that's the very definition of what a Ger Toshav is, according to every opinion. In other words, he's not going to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, so he's for sure not going to be Menasech the wine. Now, what's the other concern? Maybe he'll exchange it for another wine? If you're going for a short amount of time, don't worry about that as well. And what about another guy coming into his house, touching the wine? Rashi says we're not worried about that as well. So because what benefit is the Ger Toshav going to get when a guy comes into his house and touches the wine of the Jew? It's not going to get any benefit from that. He won't allow that to happen. Now, even he's gone for a short amount of time, but how about exchanging the wine for some other wine? Not worried about that for a short amount of time. However, if we're talking about a pikadon now is for a long, extended period of time. So again, he's not going to be menasech because he's a Ger Toshav. But may he exchange it with another wine? Maybe. If it's for a long period of time. So that's why you're not allowed to leave it to him for a long period of time. The afilo be'ir sheruba Yisrael. Even if the city is made up mostly of Jews. Aval miyachten aso yayin v'afilo be'ir sheruba ov dekochavim. If it's for a short period of time, so then you can leave it by him, even if the majority of the inhabitants of the city are not Jewish. Shmeino kiyeno, and his oil is like his wine. And the Gemara says, what? What was that? So shmeino kiyeno sagadacha, shemen mika havi yainesech. What does that mean? That the shemen doesn't become yainesech. So ela yeno kishmeino. His wine is going to be like shemen. What does that mean? His wine is going to be like his wine is going to be like oil. So Rashi says that you are shmeino miyavi. I'm sorry, mutter. It would be mutter bahana. In other words, that you can get benefit from it. So but you can't. In other words, if he touches it, you can't drink it, but you're allowed to get benefit from it. Now, as far as other halachas are concerned, so he's going to have the status of an oved kochavim. So the Rashi over here, really interesting Rashi. Rashi says he's going to be like a guy. Why? Kevin Delomal. Because he didn't give himself a bris milah. So in other words, basically for all other intents and purposes in halacha, he's considered he's not Jewish. Meaning to say, we'll start with the basics. In other words, no one's not allowed to marry him. Meaning, from that standpoint, he's not Jewish. So, Rav Shimon Omer, Yeno Yai Nesach. So, V'amri Lei Mutar B'Shtia. And then Rav Shimon takes a different opinion regarding the wine that's touched by Ger Toshav. Now, what exactly is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon regarding wine touched by Ger Toshav? So, actually, there are two versions, and they're both to the extreme. Either it's Yai Nesach, meaning it's also B'Shtia Uve'ana, or Mutar Lagamri, Mutar even B'Shtia. It's a little bit strange, by the way, that, in other words, we know that sometimes the Masorah gets a little bit corrupted, and we don't know fully what the Masorah is, but for Rabbi Shimon to have two versions where it's either Usar Lagamri or it's Mutar Lagamri, okay. Anyway, but what comes out from this brisa are very clear. The brisa says that there's one leniency that we have regarding the Ger Toshav, which is that you can entrust him for a short amount of time to hold wine, to safeguard wine. But short of that, he's a guy. For all intents and purposes, Allah, he's a guy. Now, what do the brisa mean by that? So I gave the example of marriage, but the brisa uses the words ulechol davar, ulushar kol davarav. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, presumably what it means is that just like a goy can be mavata avodah zarah, so too the Ger Toshav can be mavata avodah zarah. Now again, this doesn't go with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman at the top of the Amud, when the question was first raised, so his answer was very clear. A Ger Toshav cannot be mavata avodah zarah since he's not oved avodah zarah. That was the ruling of Rav Nachman. And now presumably what we just learned together in the Braisa is no, that's not true. A Ger Toshav is a guy. And what does that mean, he's a guy? Meaning, just like a guy can be Mevatel Avodah Zarah, so too he can as well. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak lo. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, no, that's not the Pshat. The Pshat is Litei Reshus, Levatel Reshus. So good to tell you. No, it has nothing to do. The Bryce's point over here has nothing to do with being Mevata Avodah Zarah. It has to do with Erev Chatzeros. Now, we know when it comes to Erev Chatzeros, so in order to carry on Shabbos, from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid, from one Rishus Yachid to a common Rishus Yachid, so in order to do that, you need Erev Chatzeros. Erev Chatzeros, right, most people think it's a string around the city. That just creates the Rishus Yachid. That's not the Erev Chatzeros. The Erev Chatzeros is where everyone makes a contribution of food, puts it in a basket, puts the basket in one of the houses, and now you have Erev Chatzeros. That contribution of food that's done by every member of the community, right? You remember the rabbi knocked on your door, asked you for some bread, you handed it over to him, and then you put it in the Erev Chatzeros. Now, if this conversation ever took place, don't worry. The rabbi did it for us. He did it. He was Zachon LaAdam. Anyway. So when it comes to Erev Chatzeros, a simple distinction between Jew and non-Jew. And that is that this idea of contributing and making a contribution in order to unify everyone in the Rishus HaYachid, so that is only for a Jew. When it comes to a non-Jew, there is no such thing as him making a contribution of food. In other words, what do you do with the non-Jew? You're socher Rishus. You rent the common space from him. But in other words, but you can't, he does not make a contribution. And the Gemara over here quotes the Braisa. Yisrael Momer Mishamer Shifto. Yisrael Momer Mishamer Shifto Bashuk Mevato Rishus. Ein Mishamer Shifto Bashuk. Ein Mevato Rishus. So the Mibnei Shamer Yisrael Nosin Rishus Mevato Rishus of Evakochavim Ashi Yiskor. In other words, when it comes to a Yisrael Momer, so. So can he be mevatel rishus? I'll say this quickly. If let's say you don't make a contribution to the basket, there is still a way for you to help the Erev Chatzeros, and that is that you're mevatel rishus. You cede your rights to the common area. Bitul rishus can only be done by someone who's a shomer Shabbos. If you're not a shomer Shabbos, so then you can't be mevatel rishus. Okay, I'm sorry for not perfectly clarifying that point. But in any event, the end of the braisa is here. What's of interest to us? Yisrael nosin rishus and mevatel rishus. Yisrael can be nosin rishus, meaning he can contribute to the Erev Chatzeros, or he could cede his rights to the common area. However, when it comes to an Oved Kochavim, Ashi Yiskor, when it comes to a non-Jew, the only way that you can have the non-Jew living in the area and using the common area is only when you rent it from him. You don't have to use an actual kinyan when you're going to a Shomer Shabbos. When you're going to a Shomer Shabbos, a simple act of seating would be enough. But when it comes to Goy, it has to actually be a schira, it has to be an actual rental. And just as a general point, by the way, why is that the case? Why, when it comes to the Goy, do you need schiras for sure? So the Gemara in Erevin tells us, because basically what the Chachamim wanted to do was try to dissuade us from having a common chatzir together with a Goy. So basically it's almost like a way of the Chachamim saying to us, it's not the best situation, and if you want to use the common chatzir on Shabbos, so you have to rent out space from him. Okay, in any event. The Gemara is saying that when the Brisa is talking about the Ger Toshav, and the Brisa says, L'shar kol dvarav, he's a guy, it means the Gabe Erev Chatzeros. That's what it means. Meaning he's not going to be able to contribute food to the basket to create an Erev Chatzeros. He has to, you have to rent out space from him, this Ger Toshav. Okay. Rav Yehuda Shadale Korbana Le'avidrana B'yom Edam. The Gemara tells a story. Now I know this takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. Right, as we now turn to the top of Samachei Amud Aleph, so this harks back to Dav Beis Amud Aleph, right? Giving a gift to a guy on Yom Edom on their holiday, on their pagan holiday. And Rabbi Yehuda did exactly that. He gave a gift to Abidrana, that's the name of a guy, and he gives it to him on his Yom Ed, on his holiday. Amar Yadana Beid, Lo Palach La'avodas Kochav, and he says, look, I know he's not Ovid Avodah Zarah, and so therefore it's going to be okay. Right, Tosfos, I know this goes back a long time. But Tosfos, all the way in the back, in the beginning of the Masechta, so he quotes this very Gemara. If you look back on Dav Beis Amud Aleph, In the real beginning, third Tosfos on the Amud, where Tosfos over there basically just says to himself, like, how are we doing it? How are we living amongst the Ovdei Avodas Kochavim? And how is it that we are doing business with them? Right? Karav L'Yom Eidam, as it gets close to their holiday. Their holiday is every Sunday. And how are we doing it? And so Tosfos comes up with a number of suggestions. And one of the things that he points out is our Gemara right over here. Meaning that if you know that they're not going to be over to Avodah Zarah, so then it would be okay. All right, anyway. So Shadlai Korbana, if Jana B'Yom Eidam, Amri Yadana Beit, Delo Palach L'Avodah Zkochavim, I know that he's not going to be over to Avodah Zarah. Amalei Rav Yosef Atanya. So the Gemara says, what about the Brice? And here we go now, round two. Ezu Gerto Shekol Shekiba La Bifnei Gimel Chavim Shalol Avodah Zkochavim. So what about the Brice? The Brice says that you need a Kabbalah in order to be considered a non-practicing Ovid Avodah Zarah. I know that sounds ironic. But in other words, don't you need a Kabbalah? So the Gemara says, no. Ki Tanya Ahilacha Yoso. So the Gemara says, no. Don't confuse issues. Meaning, previously what we were talking about is getting the status of a Ger Toshav. Meaning, when do you get a green card? Okay, and again, I'm saying this by way of analogy. But when do you get a green card? When do you get rights and privileges as a Ger Toshav? For that, you need a Kabbalah. Meaning, so that we know there's a mitzvah in the Torah of L'Achayos. And once there's a Ger Toshav, and he has the status of a Ger Toshav, so then he gets the privileges of L'Achayos, that we have to support him. That you need a Kabbalah b'fnei Gimel. You need to pledge in front of three people, I'm not going to be over to Avodah Zarah. But to establish a simple Ben Noach, not to be over to Avodah Zarah, you don't need the pledge. In other words, just simply, do you know that he's not over to Avodah Zarah? If you do, so then it's fine, so then you can give him gifts, even as it's Karav L'Yom Eidam. V'ha'ama Rabba, back to the Gemara, V'ha'ama Rabba, Bar Bachana, Rav Yochanan, Ger Tosha, Shavu, Olav, Yud Beis Chosh, V'lamah, Harei Kamin, Shebe Ovdei Kochavim. So the Gemara quotes a statement by Rav Yochanan. Let's say you have a Ger Toshav, 12 months come and go and he doesn't get a bris milah. At that point in time, he's basically a heretic. So, Hasam Kigon Shekiba Alav Lamo V'lamah. The Gemara says, yeah, you know what? Yes, meaning we're gonna defend Rav Yochanan, but we're also going to limit Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan only meant that in a scenario where one of his pledges was that he was going to get a bris milah. Okay, again, this goes back to what we learned earlier this morning. What exactly do you have to pledge when you're pledging the Ger Toshav pledge? So over here, he accepted upon himself, he's going to get a bris milah. And so he said that as one of his pledges, and then a year goes by and he doesn't do it. So he said he was going to do it, and now he didn't do it. And so now the Gemara says, under those circumstances, you're right. He's like a min lo v'kochavim. Rav amatale korban la bar shishach b'yom eidam. Rav sends a gift to bar shishach on his holiday. Amri adana be'da la palach la v'riz kochavim. I know he's not over the v'riz zara. Azo ashkechei diyasev atzavrei bevrada v'kaimen zonos arumos kamei. So despite the fact that he's not Ovid of Avodah Zarah, but he is a Baal Taiva. And so Rava encounters him. He's up to his neck in rose petal, taking a rose petal bath. And there were Zonos, and there were unclothed Zonos all around him. Amarle Isachu ki agav nalama da'ase. So this Bar Shishach now turns to Rava and says, is this what it's going to be like for you in Olam Haba? In other words, the idea of the non-Jewish view of what Olam Haba is going to look like. Okay? Say, Amrle didana difa tfei mehai. So Rava says, our Olam Haba is going to be even better. Amrle tfei mehai mehava. So Bar Shishach says to Rava, I can't get better than this. Come on. Amrle asan ik alaycha emasa de machusa anan lo teava lan emasa de machusa. And Rava says to Bar Shishach, you know what? It seems like you have it good, but you have emasa de machusa. In other words, you always have a constant fear of the king. Meaning, yeah, you live a luxurious life, but anxiety. You're plagued with anxiety. And when we get to Olam Haba, we will be anxiety free. Amalei ana miha mai emas demaka ikalai. So Bar Shishach says almost defiantly, and you know what happens when you open up your mouth. And Bar Shishach says defiantly, what do you really think I have emas demakasa? Like, what are you talking about? And then, right, cue the... cue the shliach. Adi yasve asa ahu priestaka de malka. In comes one of the agents of the king. Amrle kum de kabaylech malka. So he tells the Bar Shishach, "Nu, get up. The king wants to speak to you right now." Okay. Yeah, right. It's the timing is perfect timing. Perfect timing. So kinafik va'azo amrle. And so now Bar Shishach has to get up. get dressed, go to the king, and he turns to Rava as he's leaving, and he says the following. The eye that wants to do bad to you, that eye should explode. He gives Rava bracha, meaning anyone who wants to do harm to you, so he himself should be harmed. Amalei Rav Amin. Rava just received a bracha, he says Amin. So paka ena de Barshishach, and the eye of Barshishach exploded, meaning that it's Barshishach himself who wanted to do harm to the Jewish people, and so basically he was actually giving a klala to himself. Okay, a very unusual story in that I'm sure every point can be deciphered and analyzed. I don't understand what was Rava doing giving him a gift to begin with, meaning. If it turns out that this Bar Shishach is somebody who is not a friend to the Jewish people, so maybe the gift could be just like almost like a bribe? Maybe. Okay, anyway.
Why give it on that day?
Right. Now, in terms of the answer that Rava gave to Bar Shishach about how our Olam Haba is going to exceed that of whatever he thinks Olam, you know, the greatness of Olam Haba is going to be, so there could be a number of psukim that he could have quoted from. Could have quoted a pasuk from Tehillim, Benos Malachim, Bikuresecha, Nitzva Shigali Minecha, Bekesem Ophir. Pasuk in Tehillim gives some description of what Olam Haba is going to look like. Amar Ravanach Mayisuk, Yibayla Lememerlai Mehacha, pasuk from Yishayahu, Ayin Lo Rasa, Elohim, Zulascha, Yasela Mechaka Lo. Right? With no human eye can understand or see or perceive what the Olam Haba is truly going to be. But in other words, those who are Mechaka Lo, those who wait for it, those who strive for it, so they're going to experience it, and it's Olam Haba in ways that we cannot experience or articulate while we're on this earth. Okay. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the short piece of Agarata. Agarata Halacha, by the way, because it comes out, Tosfos uses our Gemara, right? Tosfos, I quoted earlier, uses our Gemara in terms of extracting Halacha, that if you know that the Ovid Avodah Zarah is not Ovid Avodah Zarah, in other words, he's just a guy, but it's not being Ovid Avodah Zarah, so then you are allowed to give him gifts on Yom Eidam, right? That's Tosos arrives at that conclusion. But now we're going to go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah that started us off on this discussion, starting at the very top of Samech Beis and Aleph, and the Mishnah told us that you can't hire yourself out for Yayin Nesach. If you are going to be working with Yayin Nesach, you cannot hire yourself out for such a job. And furthermore, said the Mishnah, if you get paid, Scharo Aser. The wages that you receive are going to be aser, and as Rav Yochanan told us back on Daf Samech Beis, Amud Aleph, it's a knas. It's a penalty that was imposed by the Chachamim. You should not be working with the Ayin Nesach, and therefore your schar is going to be aser. Okay. But then the Mishnah made a comment which at the time was strange, and it's still strange, and it requires explanation. And that is that, well, if let's say you didn't hire yourself off for Ayin Nesach, but as part of the daily job, the boss turns to you and says, you see my Ayin Nesach barrel over there? Do me a favor, take it from there, move it over there. And so as almost like a tangential part of your job, you're going to be working with Yayin Nesach. So the Mishnah says that's okay. And as I pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, now the Gemara is going to point out why should that be okay? Meaning now as part of your job, you're working together with Yayin Nesach. So why should that be okay? The Gemara asked that very question. Now this was not overtime. Leisusa Erev, you're going to hear that term a number of times now, in the next couple of minutes. It means basically after hours. Okay? So in other words, the day's job is over, and Leisusa Erev means after hours. So, but in the 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock is, 5 o'clock is coming on, you punch your time card, now you owe the money for work that you did, which was all legit. And then after hours, he turns to you and says, hey, do me a favor, could you move this from point A to point B? Now, okay, it could be a separate job, could be that you're doing it just simply as a favor, even though you're not supposed to. Whatever the case is, meaning, but it's not after hours. There are minu. But the Gemara says, I'll tell you what, though, the problem is, so the Brisa says very clearly that if during the day you did only legitimate work, and then after hours he comes over and says to you, can you move the Yayin Nesach barrel from here to here? And in terms of the propriety of whether you should or should not have done that, that's not the point right now. The point is that since you worked over the course of the day and since your job was only legitimate business, legitimate work, so therefore, or the wages you receive are mutter. And time and amr le'li suterev in kula yom alo. Which means then that if you were asked to move the Ayin Nesach during the day, during work hours. So that means to say that part of your work now was involved in Yayin Nesach. And here, seemingly from the Brisa's point is, it does not matter if your whole work day is made up of working with Yayin Nesach, or even if part of your work day is working with Yayin Nesach. If any of your work day is working with Yayin Nesach, scharo asr. Your wages are going to be asr. Only, says the Brisa, in a situation where you're working with the Yayin Nesach after hours, li'isusei erev, then and only then are your schar for the day is going to be mutter. That's what it sounds like from the Brisa. And meanwhile, that's not the simple reading of the Mishnah. The Mishnah reads simply that if you're just doing a little bit of work, even during the day, with the Yayin Nesach, your schar is still going to be mutter. So what we have is seemingly a stereo between the Mishnah and the Brisa. Two answers.
Amara. Because during the day, so you did a little bit. But you finished working, and all of a sudden you got a job.
Yeah, I hear that. Amar Abaye. So Abaye's first answer, Kitana Nami Masis and Damar Li Susei Erev. So Abaye says, okay, in other words, so we'll give the Mishnah a Kimto. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where it's Li Susei Erev, that the work that you're doing with Yayin Nesach was after hours. Okay, it's a new Kimto. Li Susei Erev Tanan. Rav Amar Lokasha. Rav says, no, we'll give a different answer. And that is, Hada Amar Le Havar Le Mea Chavius Be Mea Prutos. Rava says, no, the difference between the Mishnah and the Brisa is the construct of the hiring and the contract between employer and employee. And Rashi explains, and I'm going to paraphrase Rashi over here. Rashi explains, look, if you're getting hired to schlep 100 barrels for 100 prutos, in other words, then you're not getting paid a dime. You're not getting paid a pruta until all 100 barrels are schlepped. So that means basically it's one job with one lump salary, and you're only going to get paid when you finish your job. So under those circumstances, if one of those barrels is Yayin Nesach, now you're in trouble. Because that means that part of the job was working with Yayin Nesach. And now, even though it's a small amount, it's a fraction, but still, part of the job was with the Yayin Nesach, and therefore all the wages are going to be usher. And I also was thinking, maybe you could throw bittel in as a suggestion, but the Gemara seemingly does not buy that.
You're not getting paid unless you do all.
Right, correct.
So I can't say I'll give you back one.
Right,
ten, one
right. Three, however, if you're getting paid per barrel, 100 barrels, I'm going to pay you one pruta for every barrel that you schlep. So here it's better because over here now you're getting paid by barrel. So for every kasher barrel that you schlep, so therefore you're going to get paid, and that's legitimate payment. What about the payment that you receive for Yayin Nesach? Because it's individualized, because the contract is stipulated that you're getting paid by the barrel. So therefore, either Rashi says you'll take the pruta for the Yayin Nesach and you throw it to Yam HaMelech, or you just won't take the pruta for Yayin Nesach. Either way, but in other words, since the contract was individualized, so therefore that works out better. And that's the difference between the Mishnah and the Brisa. The Hatanya, the Gemara over here quotes a Brisa. Usually the Hatanya is a challenge over here. It's a siyua. It's a support. Exactly as we just laid it out, the difference between contracting one lump payment for the end of the job versus receiving a payment for every part and parcel of the job that you do. We now go to the next part of the Mishnah, and that is that you're a donkey driver, and you have this guy basically hiring you, renting out your donkey for his own personal travel, and then what does he do? He takes the Yayin Nesach and he puts it in his lap. Well, let's start off like this, right? Going back to that Mishnah on Samach Beis. If you can't hire out your donkey to transport Yayin Nesach, again, that's hiring out for Yayin Nesach that you can't do, and if you get paid for that, the payment is going to be asur. But if you're hiring it for personal transport, so then that's okay. And even if the guy decides, you know what, I'm going to take a little carry-on luggage, and the carry-on luggage is going to be Yayin Nesach, the Mishnah says that's okay. Hasu lamali. I'm sorry, let me just first read the heading. Hasu chesachamur laviala Yayin Nesach karu asur, hasu lamali hainu resha. So the Gemara says now, isn't the point, the second incident in the Mishnah, a repeat performance of the first episode of the Mishnah? And what is the Tzrichusa? A common question throughout Shas. So it's Tzrichlei. So the Gemara says the carry-on luggage, which is the second point of the second half of the Mishnah, that's why it's there. that carry-on luggage is not a big deal. So lememar delagin lavdino hulu suve varaminu. Now the Gemara says, now we get to have a Gemara. We do this twice. We do this in Bav Metzia, and we do it here in Avodah Zarah. And twice now we get to talk about carry-on luggage. Okay, it's not a new phenomenon. It's an old phenomenon. One of my more recent travels. So I went in an airline where literally like the Lufthansa. There's no carry-on luggage. Meaning, you know, you only have like a little handbag. Which I didn't have. Anyway, the Veriminu, the Gemara says, and what about the following? Asochis Achamor. So you hire now a donkey driver. So now you and the donkey driver are going to be traveling together on the donkey. So what can you bring, what can he bring by right? Meaning, what is it? You can contract whatever you want, obviously. But in other words, what are the assumed terms of the contract between a driver and the rider? So socher miniachalek suso leginaso mezonosav shel osa aderech. So as far as the passenger is concerned, so he can wear his clothing, which is kind of good news. I think it means like, you know, bundled clothing, meaning layers, I think is what is meant over here. So uleginaso mizonosav shel oso haderech, and you could also bring drink, the legina, right, his jug, his thermos, and food for the entire trip. Anything more than that, so then the driver could say no more than that. Meaning that's the total amount of carry on that you're allowed, no more than that. And chamar miniach aleha. Now, as far as the donkey driver is concerned, so he can only bring one day's worth of food, but no more than one day's worth of food. And the Gemara in just a moment is going to ask the obvious question: why can the passenger bring food for the entire trip, and the driver can only bring food for one day? We'll ask that question. But mikan ve'elech socher ma'akeelav. But after that point in time, if let's say the driver wants to bring more food with him, so the passenger could say no, that's it. In other words, each one of them is limited in terms of how much food they can bring. But in any event, so what comes out over here is that the wine that's brought by the passenger is an entitlement that he's allowed to bring. So Amar Abai Nihidalagin Dino Hulo Suve. Now Abai says that's right, meaning he's allowed to bring it. But Mia Ilo Mosavle Mia Minal Nechile Agra. But it's not like if the passenger says, you know what, I want you to take off discount my ticket. Why? Because I'm not bringing carry on. Okay, and like you and I when we fly, right? We know that's a ridiculous argument. We know that's not an accepted argument. And going back to the time of the Gemara, same thing. Meaning that just because I opt not to bring food, extra food with me on the plane, not extra, but in other words, the food that I'm entitled to bring, just because I decide I'm not going to bring it, so I can no longer say to the driver, hey, you know what, discount my ticket because I'm not bringing food. No, it's not. In other words, you're allowed to bring it, but at the same time, it's not of value because you're going to get discounted if you don't bring it. Okay. So mi amrin alei nechilei agra deliginaso. So hechidami idu shchiach lemizban chamer nami laakev idu shchiach lemizban socher nami lo laakev. And here the Gemara now is asking the question which I foreshadowed a moment ago: what's the difference between the driver and the passenger? Passenger can bring food for the entire trip. Driver can only bring food for one day. Why should that be? Amra papa lo shchiach deshach lemishach lemizban me avna laavna chamer derachel lemishach lemizban. Socher lav derchel lemitzruch lemizvan. The Gemara gives a simple pragmatic answer, and that is that when you have the driver, so he's been going up and down this path time and again. Remember, they're not flying right now, right? They're riding a donkey from one place to another. The driver does this all the time. He knows the stops. He knows the people along the stops. So for him, he's more than happy and comfortable to, you know, stop for the evening, go to the locals, get some food. But when it comes to the passenger, like, in other words, he doesn't know the route, and he doesn't know the people along the way, and so therefore it's fair to expect the driver to be able to stop at every stop, wherever the stopping along the way, and for him to buy food there along the stops. But when it comes to the passenger, he doesn't know the people, so therefore he's entitled to bring food for the entire journey. Okay, avud Rav Acha berei de Rav Ika, the father of Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ika. Now, if you are following over here, we just went in one loop. Right? The father of Rav Acha, who was the son of Rav Ika. meaning we're talking about Ravika. It's a circuitous way to identify somebody, but in any event. Hava shafich luhu chamra la'ove kochavim v'azol marvelu ma'abra v'yavale gufe be'agra. So what he would do is basically he would sell wines to a non-Jew. Okay, now selling wines to a non-Jew, meaning it's kosher wine, so that's fine. The problem's going to be a couple of issues. Meaning that, generally speaking, Rashi points out, so that when you sell wine to a consumer, to a buyer, so he gets not only the wine, but he gets the container as well. Meaning Rashi points out, let's take a look at the top Rashi. Hu haya mochel am yayin v'derech lamochri chavios shal yayin li'ten gam chavios lalochem. Generally speaking, in the normal business transaction, business behavior of wine sellers, barrel comes along with the wine. Yeah. Barrel's included. However, just skip a little bit in the Rashi. Look at the fourth line of Rashi. V'rav ika ha'v'shafak lu migufei shalachu mimenu v'yav v'zika didu. However, as part of his business structure, he kept the barrels. So what he did is he poured from his barrels into their Zika, into their leather flasks. Okay. So I'd like to just ignore the issue, although I know we're not allowed to. But in other words, but if he's pouring into their leather flasks has either Yayin Nesach or trace remnants of Yayin Nesach. And then just a couple of days ago, we talked in the Gemara about this idea of Nitzok, that when you're pouring from one container to another, so that creates a connection between the two. So that means that the Isser should flow back into his barrel, making his barrels problematic. Okay, all these are issues. I know they're issues, but anyway, if we may, let's just press forward, and these problems are dealt with just not by the Gemara itself. But anyway. And so what he would do is, as Rashi describes, as the Gemara here now is saying, is he would transfer the wine from his barrel into their flasks, and the barrels themselves were part of his schar, meaning it was part of the business deal. Also, Amalei La'Abaye, Amalei Ki Katarach Beheter Katarach. Now they go to Abaye and they turn to Abaye for a ruling on the matter, and Abaye says it's fine. It's fine. So they say to Abaye, why should it be fine? Because consider now, we once again go back to the concept of Rotsa B'Kiyuma. Meaning, from the seller's standpoint, from Rav Ika's standpoint, so right now these leather flasks are really important to him. Because if these leather flasks break, so that means now that the wine is going to have to be transferred back into his barrel. But his barrel is part of the deal. Meaning, in this particular business deal, he is able to keep the barrels. But that's only if the leather flasks don't split open. If the leather flasks were to split open, so then he needs to then give back his barrel in order to hold the wine. So this is an example of Rotsa B'Kiyuma. So the Gemara says, "Demasim b'hadayu inam demaisei pristake b'hadayu." So the Gemara says, okay, this particular case, we're talking about where he already made a condition with them, that if your leather flasks break, I'm not giving you the barrels. Or they already have other kelim, that in the event that the barrel break, the leather flasks break, so then you could put it into these other barrels. So the Dekatach B'Sur, the Gemara says, okay, but isn't he... Now, after transferring the wine into the leather flasks, isn't he hiring people to schlep them across the river in order to get to the buyer? So the Gemara says, no, da'amale lemavruya mikara, inami denikita be'kitra. Rashi explains that no. In other words, he didn't put the leather flasks, on the boat in order to transport them across, but rather, says Rashi, Rav Ika was the head of the river, meaning he was not only was he a seller of wine, but he was the head of the transit authority. He also controlled the river as well, and basically what he told the ferries that were going across the river is, you know what, tell them that they have access to get onto the boats then to come here in order to pick up their flasks. But in other words, but once he poured it into their flask, into the leather flask, he didn't handle it anymore, and therefore the entire transaction is genuine. Or the Gemara says Nikita Bekitra literally means he tied knots, but Rashi says basically it's the same point. Is that in other words, what he did is he gave special knotted ropes over to the buyers. The buyers would then use these knotted ropes, hand them to the ferrymen, and the ferrymen would allow them passage to his side of the river in order to pick up their wine. Okay.
Is there permission to sell the wine to begin with?
Yeah, in other words, that's the most basic point that the Gemara here is articulating, meaning that he's allowed to sell the wine to the guy because, in other words, while the wine is with him, it's kosher. It only becomes not kosher once they take it.
Wine being used for wine worshiping and so on. It's not.
I mean, in other words, it's lifnei ivra because they're going to use it for wine and worship.
Maybe
you're seeing it as kosher. I mean, it could go back to the beginning of the daf today. Meaning, the beginning of the daf. Right. If you know they're not over avodah zarah, so then you know you can give them gifts of biyom edam. And yeah, but I'm guessing though. In other words, your question certainly is good. I'm not sure. Okay, let's begin the Mishnah, and here as we begin this Mishnah, we are now going to embark on more discussion regarding Yayin Nesek. But these Mishnayos, these Gemaras that we're going to be doing now from here to basically the end of the Masechta, but the next couple of days of Daf are going to be very halacha heavy, because a lot of the concepts that we're going to be learning in the course of Yayin Nesek, which you know to us is a little bit older, meaning we're not holding by Yayin Nesek nowadays. Although Stam Yainam obviously is still in Isser, but the concepts that come up are going to have a lot of halachic application. Yainasach Shinafal Agabe Anavin. Let's say you have wine that falls on grapes. Yainasach that falls on grapes. So, Yidicham Vehimutaros. So here, the solution is very simple. In other words, rinse them in cold water, and then it's going to be mutter. In other words, there's no belia, there's no absorption from the wine into the grapes. The grapes have a nice hard skin around them, and so therefore you just simply rinse them, and they're fine. However, if the skins have cracks in them, and now that means that the wine penetrated into the grape itself, so then there's no way of extracting the yayin nesek from the grape, and therefore it's going to be awesome. Now for agabi te'enim or agabi tamarim, if let's say the yayin nesek falls on either figs or dates, inesh ben benosin tam aser. So if there is an asinus tam, if it gives off a flavor, so then it's going to be aser. Umaisa bebaitus benzuna she'evi grogros besfina. What happened with this baitus is that he was transporting figs on a boat. V'nishabra chavisho yayin esach, and a barrel of yayin esach broke on the boat. V'nafal al gabehem, fell on his figs. V'shal chachamim v'yitirum, and he asked the chachamim, what becomes now my figs? And the Chachamim says it's mutter. Zakal kol she behan aser benosin tam aser, kol she ein behan aser benosin tam mutter. And the Mishnah here gives us the rule. If the flavor that is contributed, that is added, is a good flavor, one that enhances the food, then it's going to be aser. If the flavor that is added is not going to enhance the food, so then it's going to be mutter. Kigon chomishin afa al yidei grisin. Gemara gives an example, vinegar on beans. Vinegar on beans does not enhance the beans, it makes it an inferior food, and therefore that's going to be mutter. And what the Mishnah basically just introduced us to is the concept of no saint tam, live gam. That if the flavor that is added is making the food inferior, so then that such a tam is going to be mutter. Maisa, give me one moment. Maisa listor, chesur mechzer v'achi kitani. Now, I don't understand. The Mishnah first starts off by talking about how when Yayin Esach is a contributing taste, it's going to be aser. And then the Mishnah tells a story about the boat. And what came out? What came out from the story is that it's mutter. What do you mean mutter? Should be aser, right? So the Gemara says, no. Im nosin tam livgam hu mutter. No, because that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Although that point was not articulated in the Mishnah, that's what's called chesura mechsura. Here's the point that the Mishnah is making, is that if the taste that is going in is not a improvement, but rather just the opposite, it detracts from the flavor, so then it's going to be mutter. So now wine falls on figs. So does that enhance the figs, or does that detract from the figs? Now, Danny, your point is really good. Meaning, isn't this a question of taste and people's preferences? So, yeah, in other words, there is some subjectivity to it. But there are certain things which the Mishnah and the Gemara will assume is like a universal truth when it comes to blending of tastes and blending of foods.
Majority.
Huh?
Majority.
Right. In other words, right. Is everyone going to agree? No. But you're right. You're correct. The majority.
When we say taste, are we implying that there's hana from the taste because they don't want hana?
In other words, the yain esach as it runs, is it's running over the figs right now. So obviously, whatever liquid itself you'll get rid of, but there's some residual taste. That wine is not going to be a good blend together with the figs. People don't like it. And because people don't like it, therefore it's what's called nosin tam levgam, and therefore it's mutter. Okay. And the Gemara says, and that's the yesod, that's the principle of nosin tam levgam. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the beginning of discussion of tarovis, bitol, nosin tam levgam. All the Issa V'Heter concepts coming up in the next couple of days.